Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Isabel Minos Martins and Bernardo P. Carvalho, and explore the frontier of a book. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 361 of the podcast with Isabel Minos Martins and Bernardo P. Carvalho. Isabel and Bernardo are authors and artists and publishers at the same time, and they created a picture book that we're featuring this month on All the Wonders called Don't Cross the Line. Don't Cross the Line asks the big question, should we always obey? In this story, a soldier is stationed to stop people from crossing over the gutter of the book and onto the other side, which is expressly reserved for the general. It's a story that can raise lots of great questions with readers, and it leaves space for the reader to see him or herself and to make his or her own decisions about the story. Visit allthewonders.com to see the other pieces of our feature, including guest posts, a look inside the book, a giveaway, and more. But for now, enjoy the conversation. Here's episode number 361 of the podcast with Isabel Minos Martins and Bernardo P. Carvalho. Welcome to the podcast, Isabel and Bernardo. I'm glad you could connect with me today.
Hi. Hi, Matthew. We are very happy to be invited by you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so grateful. I was saying to you before the recording, I'm so grateful that your book, Don't Cross the Line, was a book that came across my desk that I was able to read and enjoy, and I've shared it with my students, and it's just an honor to get to talk to you today. So before we go any further, Isabel, why don't I ask for you to introduce yourself to the listeners? Say who you are and where you're from and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Isabel Minos. I was born in Lisbon and I live near Lisbon. I studied in Fine Arts School, Communication Design. I met Bernardo before university when we were in high school, we work together for a long time, and we have created this publishing company that is called Planeta Tangerina, where we publish our books, and we are authors and publishers at the same time. And it's good because we have a lot of independence to work. We can think about the projects that we want to create, and we can work together and make experiences and sometimes make some mistakes and learn with that. So it's very, very good. And usually I write the text of the books. And I work with Bernardo or Madalena or Yara, that make the illustrations, and we make a team. Yes. And it's very good to work here.
I'm glad that life is good for you. I'm glad that you get to work with such great people that you've been connected with for so long, and that that even more, that you get to make beautiful things together. That's a really wonderful gift and experience that you have. So, Bernardo, would you mind introducing yourself as well?
Olá, eu chamo Bernardo e sou de Portugal e moro ao pé de Lisboa. Hello, I just said my name and where I come from in Portuguese. I'm an illustrator in Planeta Tangerina. Isabel already told you the story. We know each other for a long time. And we work together for a long time. And it's really great that we are able to publish our own books, our own stories, and do the books the way we want and we like. And that's marvelous.
It is. It's wonderful. The design work that you do, the voice that you have in all, at least that I've seen. I've been on Planeta Tangerina's site before, and I've gotten to look inside a lot of the books and just fall in love with the things that you're creating. I'm glad that you are able to have your own voice in that and sort of make your rules as you go along. You are the ones calling the shots. But before I go any further, what brings you here today is to talk about Don't Cross the Line. So I wonder if we could talk about that for a moment. Isabel, where did this idea come from for you to tell this wonderful story about a soldier that has to protect the book, the gutter of the book, from other people going on to the other page, all of the crowd coming and they can't cross over or else the general won't get to have his own page to himself?
Well, we had created this collection that is called the Round Corners Collection. And, well, some years ago, there was a lot of people that came to us and asked us if we didn't want to make books for iPads or to create applications with more interactive buttons. And we were thinking about it, and because everybody thought that the books in paper would come to an end very fast, and people were really worried. And so everybody was asking us the same question. Well, you have to change because the publishing world is changing and you have to do something. But then we thought about it, and it wasn't really the things that we wanted to do. And we know that there are great teams working on that kind of stuff and making great stuff for iPads and things like that. But that wasn't our heart. So we thought about creating this collection that is called Round Corners Collection, where we put some books that have some kind of interactivity with the reader, and also where there is something in the story that asks the reader to do or to participate. There is also another important point in this collection, that is, we really wanted the reader to feel that the book is a special object. It has a cover that is like a door, and it has a back cover that it's like the back door of a space. And it's like a place where we can come in and make things happen. And in this collection, we also try to play with the different elements of the book. For instance, we have another book in this collection that is called Clap Book from Madalena Matoso, where the reader has to open and close the book and make things happen inside. Like a bird, when you open and close the book and you make the bird fly. And here we have this idea of making something with the middle of the book, this frontier that separates the page from the left from the page on the right. And so Well, I wasn't sure what to do with this, but the idea of a frontier was very strong, and I thought that it would be good to create this separation. Maybe it could be a country in the left and a country in the right or something like that. But then I went to see a movie about the Second World War, and I was very, very surprised with that movie, because people there, they talked about how could the Holocaust happen, how was that possible, and the main idea was that there was always someone that was just obeying to orders without thinking by his head. So I thought that that would be a great idea to have on a book for children, because children are always educated to obey to teachers and parents. And then I asked myself, but should we obey always? Or maybe we have to think first, because maybe there are some orders that are not good for us. And so that's these were all the ingredients of this book. Then it was very important to have Bernardo to concretize the idea, because it's not easy to concretize this idea. And I know that maybe there aren't many illustrators in the world that could do this work. It's very difficult to make the work. Make the book work.
Make the works work. I like that phrase.
And so together, now from this we work together, we created this group of characters. And there was like
a storyline,
and me and Bernard, we developed the idea together. There was this general, Alcazar, and I thought, well, like all the dictatorships, maybe Alcazar also has a ego problem, and he really wants to make part of history. So the way that he found out to make part of history was to left a page always in blank, so that he could came to the story whenever he wanted.
That's right.
And then we worked with it. Bernard worked a lot. He made many, many experiences. He will explain you. And I think that the most difficult part was to put all these characters in the pages with the text in the balloons, and to be sure that the characters would be the same in the different pages. But Bernardo will talk about it.
Yeah, Bernardo, before you go into that, I wanted to respond for two things here. Isabel, you gave so much. It was amazing, the thought of looking at a book as an experience, as a frontier. I love that notion. It makes me even more excited to see more of the work that you're doing. I even if it means I need to read it in Portuguese, because I know the illustrations read so well. I thought the topic that you were taking on with children, something that this is a book that I read to my six-year-old, and he got it, and he was asking those questions about what it means to listen to someone, and why do you listen to someone, and even when we reach that place of, well, we're all listening to this individual, this dictator in this case, but why? It makes more sense for us to do something else. In this case, all of the characters, Bernardo, you did such a beautiful job of heightening the number of people on the page and how it started to feel crowded. And in that way, all of the emotions that individuals were feeling became the emotions that the crowd were feeling, until finally this ball goes onto the right side of the page and children go and get it, and sort of everything erupts. but to have these something like 60 different characters all carrying their own story that connects to the larger story, I thought was quite a feat to accomplish. You are quite skilled, Renardo. I'd love for you to share more about your about the way you approach the art in this book.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's really nice that you like this book. You know, when we finished, we were really apprehensive about it. We thought, oh man, this is going to be one of those flops. No one is going to buy this book. Because I think in a way, because we were just having fun when we were doing it, you know. The characters that we gave them our friends and children's names, and you know, this is all about our friends and us and all those things. And so it was so funny to do it that when we finished and we look at it, we thought, oh man, let's see what's going to happen. And but it's nice that people like it. And one of the things that I think I should tell you, it's the idea that Isabel told about these kind of digital books. In paper, for us, we still have the idea that that a book it's you can still explore their shape without doing big, you know, pop-ups and stuff. Just the book yes. by itself, the way it is. I think there's a lot of different ways to explore it, and the way you can tell a story inside of these 46 pages, you know. I think there are more ways, and kids are much more clever than we used to think, because sometimes this kind of books for an adult, it's quite complicated to read or to understand, but I think children, when they pick them, they really understand it. And especially they like this book, I think, because of all those characters and their names. They like to know their names and stuff. This is the kind of thing I think I would like if I was a kid too.
I think so too. All of them, when I read to my library of children, but also my son loved picking out individual characters with each time we read through and following them, because many of them don't speak, but there's something happening in the way you're telling the story through their illustrations. And I like also that the characters, one, you've given them these exaggerated features, these long, funny, different colored noses and things, but also you have just sort of random characters, like an astronaut on the page, and there's a ghost and a rabbit, and there's all these just things going on that all fit in the same universe, but are also fun to discover, to see, well, what did you see when we read this book? Because I saw something different.
Yes, and I think that what is funny is that all the characters, they have something important to do on the right side of the book. So yes. They have like a mission or a goal, and they are very committed and very... very strong.
they wish
a lot to go to the other side.
So they have this obligation, I was going to say. Yeah, they feel like they need to get there.
The astronaut, but he also has something very important to do on the right side, that is to get some new oxygen, because he's getting out of oxygen inside his Hamlet.
So you were going to say that you were working in your other friends and family members, and I know that you both are also characters in this story. Isabel, I noticed you first because you're illustrated differently from the other characters.
Because she was the first to pick her drawing.
Yes, I said, I want to be this girl. She's very nice. But it's funny that when the book is published in other countries, publishers usually they change the names. No, it was not this in the English edition. It doesn't happen a lot. But there was other editions where the publishers wanted to put the names of the publishing team or their daughters and sons and friends. So there is a lot of change in the different editions.
Oh, well, I'm glad then that we are able to... I think it's neat that the children are able to see, oh, these are the names of the people that made the book. I think that's really funny. Also, Bernardo, you are hilarious in the illustrations as we go through with you carrying all of the boxes and dropping them, and it's great.
Okay, thank you. You know, about the compositions of the pages and making them all together when it's crowded, you know, I just discovered that it would be really difficult to do it the way I was doing it, because I was doing each page all in the same page and doing all them together in the same page. And then I discovered that I was going to make big mistakes in the places they were. So I decided to stop. I came back and I did just the characters, one for each page, in a lot of positions, different positions and different moods. And then I joined them together on the computer.
Oh my goodness. So you essentially wrote 60 different little books and then put them all together. That makes sense. How else would you keep track of everybody? And yet it's managed very well.
Yeah, but because we don't work just us, and there's other people here, and before we finished, or when we think it's finished, we give it to them so they can discover what's missing or what's if I forgot something, and I usually do. So they help me a lot in that part.
It's fun to have them test it. I always think about children testing those things. It's so, you can't, if you make a mistake, the children seem to find it first. They're the ones that are studying it so closely.
That's true. Mm.
And you know, about their saying, especially when they're mad, a lot of what they say, there are the same phrases from books that I read when I was a kid, and I used to laugh a lot with those kind of words. That people are saying, for instance, when they are very mad with the general, they start calling him stuff. And those are the same stuff. You know those books, the Les Aventures de Tintin?
I don't know if I know those books.
You know those comic books from Hergé?
Hergé.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it's a boy with a little dog?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So those were quite famous around here. And
I'm picturing Tintin. Am I wrong about that?
Tintin. Yes.
Tintin. Yes.
In friendship,
Tonton. There you go. Yeah, I do. I can see where those references. So you're drawing from things like that when they were all yelling the "not fair, boo, take that."
Exactly. Though a lot of those words come from those books, from Looky Luke and stuff like that.
Well, that's nice to have those sort of, we call them Easter eggs, those sort of hidden things that other people will read and know the connection.
Yeah, for sure.
Bernardo, how did you make the illustrations in this book? Was it paint or was it marker? There's a texture to it that feels...
They're markers.
It's marker, that's what I thought, yeah. And then you said you were layering it digitally. But the colors are so vibrant. One of the things that really struck me about the book, first was the cover. I love the typeface, the font, the way you drew the letters for the title, Don't Cross the Line. Those colors are just so...
It's funny that you talk about it, because when I did this, we have a kind of a rule in Planeta Tangerina that we always share our work, and in the end we talk about it and people can say what they like and they don't. And I did some other kind of lettering for this cover, and they all voted in the other one, you know, and I was really pissed because I prefer this one. I said, okay, no, sorry, this time this is going my way.
Oh, good, I'm glad you stuck with it. There are times when you need to say, I respect your opinion, but mine is the correct one. No.
Yeah. He wants to listen to everybody, but he's the boss.
I love that. Well, I love that throughout the entire book, things are so colorful. It's something that is really nice to look at. And I think it works to separate all of the characters. There's so many different characters on the page that having so many different bright colors allows it to be easy to find the pregnant woman with the blue dress or the general who's this olive green. It makes it very easy to track on a page to find your characters. It's very nice. I just think your faces look hilarious, by the way. I can't stop thinking about just how funny all of the big purple noses look and their hands, their fists shaking in the air.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, last year we got a really nice prize here in Portugal for the best children comic book. And when I got to receive the prize, it was like in a theater. And the guy there, and he know me for a long time and my work, and the first thing he told me when I got to the stage is, how do you feel after winning this prize with such an ugly drawing?
No.
I know, they're really terrible, but they're cute at the same time, you know?
I think the same thing. Was it, so you won the comic award for this book?
Yeah, there's a comic book
festival
in Portugal.
Oh.
It's the main comic book festival in Portugal, and they always give these awards, this kind of award for the best published comic book published in Portugal or those kind of prizes.
Well, congratulations. That's a great thing. And, I mean, we over here are talking about your book a lot too over in the States. There's something that you both accomplished here that is beautiful. And I am still thinking about how you both mentioned about being afraid that this book might be a flop, not being sure how other people would interpret it. And yet I feel like this story has a strong voice that isn't something that our readers encounter a lot. That idea of questioning authority, of questioning whether or not the rules that are in place are still relevant or make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's funny when I go to schools and I read this book, when I come to the middle of the story, I stop after the characters Simão and Cristiano, they kick the ball to the other side, and I ask the children, and now what will happen? And it is very funny to see what different children answers, because some of them, they say, well, they cannot go there because the guard must obey, and the others, they give their suggestions. But it's funny because you in a group, you always have different opinions if he should obey or not, and they all propose different ends for the story.
Yes, I mean we're all raised differently as well, and so I think that's some
true.
Of us are taught that you never ever question authority, and some of us are taught that if something doesn't seem right, you should speak up about it. And so to be, as you're saying, in a school visit, to be in a community together where the children can hear other viewpoints, I think that's also one of the important qualities of this book, is that it allows a safe space for
yes.
children to explore that question in a book.
Yes, so and you cannot forget that in the end, the crowd does not behave that good because, well, of course, they really had to pass to the other side, but they leave a lot of
mess.
They leave a mess, garbage, yeah.
And, when we are not expecting, the general has a good attitude and he goes there and tries to clean the book. So it's not that kind of hand, very organized hand or very predictable.
Well, I do love your ending line, though. It's translated as the general seeing all of the trash left everywhere, all of the things that we've seen the characters carrying the whole time. And also, I want to point out, all the guns are left on the ground, too. I loved that the other guards that he was with left. But he says, right, that's it. I'm leaving this book. Who wants to be the hero of a children's story anyway?
That's just joking about everybody. Well, there is a lot of people that think that publishing for children is not that honor or that kind of serious things. So it's like we are joking about it.
Yeah, and I think also, though, you're all at the same time, you know, giving a nod to people that don't think children's books are that sophisticated. I like also that it affirms that all of us in this situation, all of us, when we stand up for what we think is right, what we think is right versus what's going on that's wrong, all of us are heroes. We're all doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think front to back, it's such a beautiful, beautifully designed book. And I enjoy, too, that you have given on the end papers, you've given sort of a directory of all of the characters and their names in the beginning. And then in the back, all of the characters are in the same positions, but they are acting differently. We are seeing their behavior in the beginning of the book and in the end. And so it's neat to check up on the characters and see what they're like at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you've made a beautiful book. I'm so grateful that it made it to the States. I'm so grateful that so many of us are getting to read it and give it life over here as well. I hope that you have continued success, not just with Don't Cross the Line, but all of the other books that you and the team are working on and continuing to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah.
I'm so much.
Thank you. Grateful.
Of course. Let me tell you what, anytime you want a call from Portugal, just to hear some nice compliments, I will be here for you.
For us, it is important to listen to that because we, as Bernard was saying, when we make the books, we don't really know if people will like them. So it's important to hear when they like it.
Yeah, let me just tell you a last story about this book. When we finished, we went to Bologna to it's a big book fair where we sell the rights to other countries. And the first American publisher that came to us and we show him this book. And when he saw the guard with a gun in his hand, he said, oh, sorry, this is not for us. The no guns in children's books, that's too much for us. And I said, okay. And I was like, I shouldn't use guns in the book. And then, but then it was the only person who said that. And then he came back, he returned again and said, oh, what I was thinking. No, maybe I want to see the book again.
Well, I'm glad they took a second look. Because again, I think it's different. Boy, we could talk for another hour about this, but I think that we in America, we're such a new country and our government is different from other governments around the world. I think that there are experiences that my students can have by reading books that are published in other countries that they will not get in books published in America, because most of the people who are writing in America have not had those experiences to be able to write about them. Yeah. So I'm glad that in that way too, you are able to share a new kind of story with our readers. And also I want to say, in how strong I think this book is, that it really did have that effect on me, that it made me want to read more of what you both are creating and of what you're doing at Planeta Tangerina. It made me want to see more. And that's a powerful thing as a storyteller, to have that effect on a reader that makes them want to know you and know your stories more. So you're doing a beautiful thing. I can't wait personally to see more of what you're doing and explore more of what you're doing. I will be doing my research and I will be reading more. I'm grateful for the time I had with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I mentioned that I wanted to give you a chance to have a last word with your readers. And Isabel, I know you're out visiting schools, and so perhaps you have these words on the tip of your tongue. But I will see a library full of children tomorrow morning. I wonder, what message can I bring to them from you?
Bernardo, do you want to answer?
You first.
Oh. Well, I think that it is good when we are open-minded to books, and maybe when we don't still have a big experience as readers, maybe we the first thing that we'll do when we go to a bookshop or to a library is to pick a book with characters that we already know, or with a story that we already know from movies or from TV, and that's not a problem, of course. But maybe we can take some risks sometimes and try to choose something different. So that would be my message, because I think that a book is good when it can change the reader. Sometimes it can help us to organize ideas, sometimes it can help us to disorganize ideas. And I think it can be a big inspiration for our lives through characters and the situations that we find in books. And so I think that, well, we are using paper from trees, and it's important to have books that are strong and that make changes in our minds. That's my message.
Yes, that's a beautiful message. Thank you.
So as a reader, you must take some risks. And we as authors, we also have to take some risks.
Okay. Yeah. I think what I have to tell them is to do things, not just to watch and read other people's books. It's, of course, it's really good to see movies and to read books, but it's great to tell stories, to draw the stories, to make things. That's really nice. Don't just stay on the computer forever.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, and Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Tegan White shares her Barefoot Critters series, and we talk about That's Me Loving You, a picture book written by the late Amy Krauss Rosenthal and illustrated by Tegan. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.